Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a teaching on financial stewardship. Today is the end of my third week teaching on this. I have an album entitled Financial Stewardship, and there are six teachings in there. And we are now on the fourth of those six teachings. And we're talking now about how prosperity isn't selfish. And one of the reasons, one of the reasons that I'm teaching this is because the way some people have presented prosperity is you give and God's going to give you this and God's going to, and it's all about you getting your needs met. Well, certainly that's a part of it. You cannot be the blessing to the world, to other people that God wants you to be if you don't have your needs met. That's not right. And so I am not saying that God wants you to live a poverty lifestyle. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that the real reason God wants you to prosper is so that you can be a blessing to other people. And you know, there are so many examples I can give of this, but let me just mention this man who's a friend of mine, Pastor Dean Melton in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he's one of the men that God used, I mean, in a powerful way, to help give me a revelation on prosperity. I had some of the basics, but it wasn't the revelation I have now. And I saw Dean impacting people's lives and doing things that I just knew he had a greater revelation of prosperity than I did. Anyway, I just decided that I was going to get what Dean had. It's a long story. I won't go into the whole thing, but I got that revelation. It transformed me. And now I am seeing the same things that Dean is seeing in his life. I'm seeing them come to pass in my life. God is blessing and prospering me. But the reason I wanted to bring him up is because Pastor Dean owns a tire store, and he's got some investment properties. I don't know how many there are, but that's where he gets his living from. He doesn't take a salary from his church. And he's been at that church for, I've been going for over 22 years, and he was there before I was there. So he's been there maybe 25 years. He's never taken a salary from the church. He gives away 90% of everything that he's got. And here's some of the things that I was wanting to use him as an illustration. Pastor Dean bought a house in the 50s. I'm not sure all of these details. But anyway, when he was a young guy just getting started, Pastor Dean bought a house. I think it was for $5,500. And since then, they've added on to it a little bit, but it's still only 700 or 800 square feet. It's very nice. And, you know, there's nothing bad about it. It's a very nice house. And he's got a nice lot, big trees on it and things like that. But my point is, here's this man who brings in hundreds of thousands of dollars, and he gives 90% of it away. And he lives in a home that most of you probably wouldn't live in. Now, it's not because he has to do that because he's poor, but it's just he's content where he is. This is the house he and his wife, Georgia, have lived in for, I don't know, 30 years or whatever it's been. And they're just content and they're happy. He doesn't have all these fancy cars. He has nice cars, but I've heard him say before he's never owned a brand new car, doesn't care to own a brand new car. You can get a different car, a used car that's just as good. And this man is using all of his money to put into the gospel and to change people's lives. And we were just in Nicaragua together, and it was actually a lot of fun because we had thousands of dollars and we were giving away money to these kids and to people everywhere we went. And Pastor Dean was trying to outgive me and I was trying to outgive him. And it depends on who tells the story as to who won. He told me that when he went back to his church, he told him that he just gave so much more that I couldn't keep up and that I was going around begging for money to try and give. And you know what? I'm telling all of you there in Freedom Christian Center, that's not the way it really was. Amen. But my point is that this guy is a giver, and I believe he's a good example. Now, not everybody has to live in exactly the same standard and do things the same way as he does. My house is probably 10 times or 20 times more expensive than his. My total value on my house was $120,000 when we moved in 1988, and that's including the house, $45,000 for the land and things like that. So, but my house is probably 10 or 20 times as more expensive. I'm not saying you have to live like that, but this attitude is what I like. A person who's just content, that doesn't have to have all of these other things to make them happy. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there are people watching this program that the reason you're wanting to prosper is so that you can just keep up with your brother or your sister or somebody else, so that you can reach some kind of an imaginary status that you think when I get there, everything's going to be right. This isn't what the Word teaches. I was using those scriptures out of 1 Timothy chapter 6 about that if you seek to be rich just for the sake of being rich, not so that you can be a blessing, then you pierce yourself through with many sorrows and hurtful lust, which drown men in perdition. This is not the way that God wants you to be. Look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Now that is an amazing scripture, and it's one that we often pass over. Probably most of you don't have Ephesians 4:28 on your refrigerator. This is not one of those refrigerator scriptures. And yet, I tell you, if we could adopt this attitude right here, this would revolutionize your entire life. This is a radical scripture, totally different than what most people believe today. Look at this. "Let him that stole steal no more, but in contrast to stealing, labor." And you know what? I could probably make a bigger deal out of this than what I'm going to do right here. But I believe that you could say this, that if you aren't laboring, then you know what? You're stealing. You need to be working. The scriptures teach that you're supposed to work. And this is saying, quit stealing and go to work. Quit being one of the takers and start being one of the givers. Now, let me just say that I'm aware that there are some people that are in circumstances, if you're totally disabled and if you haven't gotten your healing yet, you may not have any alternative. Anybody could be in a situation where for a brief period of time they might need the help of an individual or even of the government. I'm not saying that any type of welfare or taking money and just having other people support you is wrong, but I am saying that as a general rule, you need to be a giver and not a taker. Instead of being one that's just expecting people to give to you, you need to change that. Get from this old attitude of taking and start laboring. And it tells you why you labor here. "Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Now, this is just a radical concept. This is amazing. This scripture is saying, quit stealing, go to work, labor with your hands, and then it tells you why. Let me ask you this. Why do you work? And, of course, many of you have been watching my program. I've been building up to this, and so you might give me a different answer than you would if I just, you know, somebody else out on the street asked you. But if you could be honest right now, what has your whole life been about? Why do you work? Most people would say, so it's like I can pay my bills, so that I can put food on the table, so that we can have a roof over our head. The reason most people work is to meet their needs, period. And then, if you're really spiritual, you say, after all of your needs are taken care of, oh God, help me to be a blessing to somebody else. But giving to other people, meeting their needs, is not what most people would say that they work for. And yet, look at this verse. It says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needs." This verse says the reason you should work is so that you can have money to give to other people that need. It didn't even mention your needs. And some of you are thinking that, you know what, if I was to take this verse just literally and do what it says and work so that I could start giving to other people, well, then who would take care of me? And some of you just say it never happened. I'd go without. If I started buying other people cars, if I started helping other people, who would ever take care of me? God. And here is a statement that you can't get this with just your brain. You have to receive this in your heart. It has to come by revelation of the Holy Spirit. But over in Matthew, the 6th chapter, it starts talking about don't lay up treasures here on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And it starts talking about all of the ways that you do that. And it says, don't worry about your food. Don't worry about where you sleep. Don't worry about what you're clothed with. Because this is what the unbelievers, people that don't have God, think about. And then it ends up in verse 33, Matthew 6:33, by saying, but seek ye first. That means priority, paramount. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things will be added unto you. If you take it in context, the things are where you eat, what you eat, where you sleep, what you're clothed with. Here is the truth that you just have to receive in your heart. If you would literally do what Ephesians 4:28 says and start working so that you could be a blessing to other people, and if that would be your priority, if that's what you focused on, if you quit using your prosperity primarily for yourself and instead started putting other people first, you know what? Then God would supernaturally take care of these other things in your life. And I know that there's many of you that think, I just don't believe that. Well, it's obvious. And that's the reason that we feel the responsibility on ourselves. That's the reason that in a downturn, when we're having an economic crisis in the world, the way that we see now, people are panicking. They're killing themselves. There was a story just a few days ago where a man and his wife got laid off from a hospital. Excuse me. And they went home and they killed their, I think it was five or six children, and killed themselves because of the financial pressure. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you that those are people who it was all about them. Now, I don't know them, but I can guarantee you they didn't see their job and their finances that flowed in as an opportunity as, oh God, thank you. This is going to enable me to be a blessing to other people. They weren't other people minded. They were all inward minded. It was all selfish. And when they saw that their world was caving in around them, kill their children. That's demonic. And you know what? There's a lot of people that would never go to that extreme, but they are just as depressed. They are just as discouraged. They wouldn't go as far as this other family did, and they shouldn't. But I'm saying that, see, you would just find a release if you said, Father, the reason I'm supposed to work is so that I can be a blessing to other people. And if I'll put you first. Now, there's wisdom to be used in this. You need to follow what the Bible says. The Lord didn't tell everybody to give 90% of what you get and only keep 10%. He asked for 10%. And then there's gifts and offerings above that. But I'd say 10%, 20%. 10% is a beginning place. If you would just follow that guideline and give first, not give after you've taken care of all of your needs, and only if you can see that you're taken care of, then you're going to give. No, if you would give first and put the priority on seeking first the kingdom of God, if you would help other people first before you helped yourself, then God would supernaturally take care of you. And I know that there's some of you just say, I can't see it. I can't believe it. Well, it takes God. It takes faith. This isn't the way that things work in the natural. You know, people that just give their money away, without God being involved, you're decreasing your ability to meet your needs instead of increasing it. It's subtraction instead of addition. To the natural mind, it doesn't make any sense. But I'm telling you that this is the way that the financial stewardship that is modeled in the Word of God, this is how it works. You are supposed to labor so that you can give first and foremost to the gospel. And if you would put God first, God would supernaturally take care of your needs. You know, again, I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. I'm just using things to illustrate what I'm talking about. But my wife and I have seen this come to pass. We felt led to give our materials away. Long story. But I've been doing this now for 40 years. And I figured out I've given away well over 6 million cassette tapes, CDs, books, DVDs, and things like this. Over 6 million of them. You know, if you just put a price of, say, $7 per unit, and some of these things are, of course, much more than $7. Some of our books we suggest that people send in $14 for them. But if you just took an average of $7 per unit, 6 million, and it's over 6 million, that's over $42 million worth of things that we've given away. And that's just product. We give away money. We do all kinds of other things. But $42 million, and somebody says, how can you do that? You'll go broke. I had a lot of people tell me that. I've had people prophesy over me. Thus saith the Lord, you cannot give things away. You've got to start charging and making this money. You know what? In the natural, it doesn't make sense. But guess what? Here we are 40 years later, and I'm still prospering, and we're going through an economic time when it seems like every other ministry that I've heard of is cutting back and laying off. Some of the ministries here in Colorado Springs has laid off as many as 20% of their workforce. They're pushing the panic button. There's one of my friends that just had a meeting today about layoffs, and they're cutting back on all of these things. You know what? We're hiring. And somebody can sit there and say, how can this be? Look at the economy. How can your finances continue? Every month in 2008 was a record income month for that month. And then in January was a record income month for 2009 for the Januaries in the previous years. We are just blooming and blossoming. And people say, how can this happen? Because you know what? I am seeking first the kingdom of God. We are putting out the word, and my finances aren't according to this world system. While the world system is going down, ours are going up. We are prospering. And some of you will sit there and say, this can't happen. I'm telling you, this is what's happening. For you to disagree with this, you're going to have to call me a liar. And I'm not lying. You can check it out. Our finances are public record. You can check it out. You can go to Charity Navigator and they evaluate us and they tell us all of these things. We've been, I think it's either the fourth or the fifth year in a row, we've gotten their four-star designation, which is the highest that they give. And they said that there's only 6% of all nonprofits that have reached that. You can check us out. There's nothing hidden. I'm not lying. You are going to have to sit here and just say, well, I don't believe it because I'm telling you it works. But you know why it works? Because we labor. Our whole ministry is about trying to touch people and bless people. And we encourage people to give. We encourage you here on television to give. We say that there's a suggested donation. But you know, about 50% of the people don't send a thing. And we send them the materials anyway. We're giving. We're putting first the kingdom of God. I'm doing what we're talking about. I'm not using this prosperity for all of these things. You know, I'm not critical of other ministers. They do what God tells them to do. I'm not critical, but I am trying to make a differentiation here. And I'm not using the income that comes into this ministry to buy multimillion dollar jets and to live in a house that is 7,000-8,000 square feet and to do all of these kind of things. You could come check out my life anytime you want to. I'm telling you, I am using prosperity to touch people's lives. And because of it, I am going up while the economy's going down. Our income is going up while most ministries are going down. And some people will see this as a coincidence and make no connection between the two. And I'm just saying, how dumb can you get and still breathe? Amen. To me, it's as obvious as it can possibly be that when you become a steward and do what this says, you labor so that you can be a blessing. When you do this, when you put God's kingdom first, God will put you first. And God is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. God is taking care of us well. I'm not barely getting by. You can tell by looking at me, I haven't missed any meals. God's taking care of me. God is not cheap. But I don't believe he's opulent. He doesn't want us just to consume all of this stuff on ourselves. God is blessing me, but it's so that he can get it through me to touch people. I'm trying to say this to you so that you could adopt this mindset. It's working. And you know what? Jamie and I have done this, and we haven't always prospered. It takes time. It's like sowing a seed. There is seed, time, and harvest. That means there's seed, and then sometimes it's time, and then harvest. And we went through a time that we struggled. We went through times that we didn't know if we could pay our rent and do things. But you know what? We've come through it. And we are prosperous. When it came time for us to build a house, I bought a piece of property for $45,000, 26 and a half acres. And you know what? It took everything I had to do that. I kept it for a few years, and then I was going to build on it. And anyway, it's a long, long story, but things weren't working out. And finally, we had to leave the place we were renting, and there were just some things coming to a head, so I had to make a decision. And all I had money for was about, all I could get a loan for was about 60-something thousand dollars. And so I was going to have to put a modular home out there on this property. And as I talked about doing that, a friend of mine who was a builder came up and he says, "You don't want a modular home." He says, "Why don't you just build a regular house?" And I said, "Well, I'd rather have a regular house, but I said, I can't afford it." I said, "We wouldn't qualify." And he says, "I tell you what, I'll help you." He says, "You just pay the subcontractors. You pay the invoices as they come through, and I'll charge you $3,000, and we'll get that home built." And he says, "I can guarantee you I can build you a home for $60,000. So anyway, he did. He built this home, and we paid $63,060 for the house, $3,000 for his building. I had $45,000 in the property, and then we had to put in $18,000 to get electricity to us. We were so remote. And anyway, the whole package deal was $120, and that's how we started, and that was 20 years ago. We've got it paid off. But my point is that, see, because I had been using my money to put forth the kingdom of God, most people would think, well, then you'll never get to where you can have a house, and you'll never do this. But God brought someone across my path who built me a house. And I don't know how much that house was worth the day that it was completed and that we went in, but I bet you it was at least a $120,000 home I got for $60,000. I got it half price because I was putting first the kingdom of God, and then God added these other things unto me. I've bought other people cars, brand new cars. I've made their monthly payments on cars. And guess what? I didn't do it to get. But as I started putting first the kingdom and blessing other people, I've had other people buy me brand new cars and make the payments on my cars. I know some of you think this can't work. Well, don't wake me up. This is how I live. I live to give. And I'm telling you, it works. And I'd just like to challenge you to start being a steward of God's money. Do it His way. Work so that you can be a blessing first. Put Him first. And if you'll do that, God will supernaturally begin to start making things work to your advantage. I believe that. I challenge you. I pray that you take this challenge. And if you'll do it, it'll change your life. I'm going to continue this on our programs next Monday, so I encourage you to listen in. And also, listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get this teaching on financial stewardship.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The fourth teaching in the audio CD album, Prosperity Isn't Selfish, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TO18C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
You know, I'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a partner with this ministry. I've been teaching on finances and on living to give and recognizing this is the best thing to do with your money. And I just feel like it'd be irresponsible to encourage you and get you built up and then not give you an opportunity to follow through. Of course, you can do this in other ways than just joining up with our ministry. You can give to a local church. There's many other ministries. But you need to evaluate whether it's a good ministry, whether it's good ground you're sowing your seed in. I can't speak for everything else, but I can say that I know this is a good ministry. It's changing people's lives. If you will put your seed in this ground, it is going to produce an abundant harvest. So we have a number on your screen. I ask you to call that number, talk to our people, and become a partner with us today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to visit our website. I have a lot of information there. You can get this material that we're offering. Plus, I have over 9 years worth of my television programs archived there. I have about 10 or 12 years worth of radio programs. We have hundreds of my teachings. All of these things are absolutely free to you. Man, I'm practicing what we're talking about right here. I'm giving. I'm investing in your life. And I promise you, it's one of the best websites, one of the greatest resources that you could ever get. Plus, I try and read our guest book every day. And I would love to hear you sign on and just tell me about how the ministry's been a blessing to you. So we have that address on the screen. I encourage you to check us out today. I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got 4 services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida. Remember, this is April the 19th through the 22nd, Merritt Island, Florida, at the East Coast Christian Center.
The preceding program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of this ministry. For the 4th consecutive year, Andrew Womack Ministries has been awarded the coveted 4-star rating from Charity Navigator. This exceptional rating demonstrates to the public that Andrew Womack Ministries is worthy of their trust. For more information, go to our website at awmi.net.